All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it is Robert Eggers' time again. You know, ever since I kept seeing the trailer for The Northman in the theater and Alexander Skarsgård catches that spear midair and throws it back at the guy, I've just been like so excited to see and then talk about this movie, and we are finally going to do that. We've got Peta Beta from Middle Class Film Class here to talk about it, and we got a lot of great puzzle pieces, and we're going to get to that conversation in a minute. Before we do, I want to remind you all to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate and review us if you like what you hear here on the show, and follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. You could also check us out over on Facebook, our Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces Facebook group, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And with that said, you know what? Let's just get right into it, because I am so excited to talk about this movie. All right, so it's finally time to talk about The Northman, and joining me is Pete Abeda. Pete, how's it going?
Going gangbusters tonight. Thanks for having me, David. Yeah.
Have you been doing burpees and chest presses in preparation for this?
Yeah, I've been doing the Viking. I'm eating 3,700 calories a day every 2 to 3 hours, but I'm only working out 1 hour a day, according to the Skarsgård regimen.
Well, he's right. You know, everything I've ever learned says that that's, you know, an hour of light workout. That's how I do it. But that's not how he does it. But anyway, we're not going to talk about his workout regimen for the whole podcast. We should talk about the movie itself.
Yeah.
Before we get to puzzle pieces, though, you requested to cover this one with me. Mm-hmm. Were you a big fan of Eggers' other movies? Is that why you were excited about this movie?
Pretty much, yeah. Exactly that. Eggers, I feel Robert Eggers and Ari Aster are two like new on the scene auteurs. You know,
yeah.
I would say directors, but they also wrote and did. I mean, we're so involved in their movie production that them too are like, I feel like we're in this decade, we're seeing this emerging of two like really fantastic auteurs that are going to be go down in history.
Yeah.
So The Witch I saw by chance on opening weekend in theater, blown away, loved it. Walked out of a theater with everybody going, what the hell was that?
Yeah, sure.
No one liked it, but I'm like stunned.
yeah.
And The Lighthouse is, we're the fanboys for The Lighthouse over on the podcast.
Oh, it's the best.
It's so good. Probably seen it so 10 times maybe already.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say as far as filmmakers are concerned, you're absolutely right. Those two, and I would say probably Jordan Peele is the other one, and all three have new movies coming out this year. So it's kind of an exciting year for sure. Yeah, this movie I was super excited for. For the most part, I would say lived up to most of my expectations. I mean, I love this thing. I am so grateful that I got to see this in Dolby Cinema, which I did not expect. I have to assume it has to do with Fantastic Beasts flopping, that they were like, maybe we'll throw that Viking movie on the Dolby screen and see what happens, because I don't think this was ever planned for that kind of rollout. It's still basically a weird art house movie, even with a, you know, really bloated budget.
Yeah, what is it, 110 million or 90 million or something like that?
90 million, but they say that adding marketing in, it's just insane. Yeah.
It could be the most expensive indie movie of all time.
Yeah, it sure seems like it. So, you know, we'll start getting into some puzzle pieces. I do want to say, I figured I'd just kind of start the conversation off just by saying this. I don't usually do this, but for some reason with this movie, and it's weird that I did this, because I certainly didn't do it with The Lighthouse. I didn't go and watch like Bergman movies and stuff in preparation or anything like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't bother. I was just like, you know what? I'll go with the pieces that I know. For some reason with this movie, I set up this list of like Viking-esque movies to watch, and
I got through two, and I was like,
you know what? I'm good. I'll just go back to my list. So anyone who wants to yell at me, I would love to hear your puzzle pieces. If anything that we don't end up covering here today, but yeah, I didn't do my homework. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't think you have to. I mean, this was a flat out entertaining movie.
Yeah.
And I think Eggers' last two movies kind of, they demand a lot from the audience, and you can't just go off the street and recommend The Lighthouse to somebody.
No,
you gotta. I've recommended it to anyone to listen, but I tell them, you know, don't blame me if you're confused and angry at the end. But that's the goal. The Northman was just very entertaining from start to finish, and it was as accessible as you can get for an Eggers movie, with still having a lot of his hallmarks.
Yeah, because it does still have a lot of his hallmarks, but at the same time, it's also, and we'll get into this in the pieces, but it is a big action epic, even if it's weirder than maybe some others that would come to mind. It still is that, and I have to imagine most people will at least get that out of it, even if they are a little what the fuck about it. So let's start getting into those pieces. What do you have for your first puzzle piece?
Okay, my first puzzle piece is going to be the obvious one, which is Valhalla Rising. Nicholas Winding Refn. Is that the one you watched?
That's the one I didn't watch. That was next on my list. I had like a list of like six. That was next on my list.
Okay. It demands a lot from the audience. That's just like The Lighthouse does.
Sure.
And it's Mads Mikkelsen as this One Eye, is the name of the character. And he plays just a absolute brute. So I know that Skarsgård did Tarzan and he beefed up for that. And he was full beef boy, as Jason would like to say. So maybe that's me, but I don't think of Skarsgård as this hulking Goliath. And I also don't think of Mads Mikkelsen as this like masterful, weapons expert, you know, Viking God. But in Valhalla Rising, that was him. So both in the transformation of the two main leads into a character that I really didn't expect from them. And also just in the overall tone, there is a really long boat trip in Valhalla Rising, which is kind of cerebral and lasts way too long. But it's essentially their trip across the ocean. And then there's a bit in The Northman that shows them rowing into seemingly nowhere, going from, I think, Russia back to Iceland. And you're like, wow, they're just really going to row this whole distance. a boat full of slaves. And there's just a lot of feelings of Valhalla Rising. And also just the fact that it's purely surrounded in 100% Norse mythology.
Yeah. And like I said, I haven't seen it, but like Nicholas Winding Refn is like another like contemporary of some of those filmmakers we were talking about before we started getting into the pieces here. And so you would imagine that they're, you know, they're all fans of each other's. And so I could completely see that being an inspiration here and certainly something that would have been on Egger's mind. And also another like incredibly visual filmmaker. I mean, the two of these filmmakers, all their movies are just incredible to look at, and just they really have very specific eyes for what they
want to see and want to put on screen.
Their movies are always, if nothing else, really exciting to watch because of that. And this movie is certainly no exception, The Northman. I mean, you know, we jump around, we get into spoilers on the show and everything, but by the end, we're getting a naked battle in the middle of a freaking volcano. I mean, it's insane what this thing looks like. It's amazing. And like I said, seeing it on Dolby was just a beautiful sight to be seen.
I'm really jealous about that, that you got to see it in Dolby.
But, wonderful. If
you've seen any other Winding Refn stuff, Drive and Only God Forgives, the brutality is very brutal.
Yeah.
And Eggers is the same way. So there's some kill scenes or the aftermath of some kill scenes in The Northman that were like, whoa, that was fun. The nose bit was, was fun.
Lovely. I loved it.
All right, what you got?
So yeah, I'll go to my first piece, and this is one of the ones that I did get to on my homework list, and that is a movie, I don't know how I never saw this movie before, but it is 1982's Conan the Barbarian, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it is probably the closest thing we're going to get to the story here with the Northmen. I mean, it's practically beat for beat, the same path that this hero takes from, you know, losing his kingdom to growing up, becoming this big brute monster, and then taking back what's his, and Schwarzenegger rules, and it is so much fun to watch, and it is great, and yeah, I don't know how I never saw it before. It's so great. It's really, really fun, and Schwarzenegger's great, and one of his earlier roles, of course, but Yeah, it's also visually really awesome, like a lot of really cool stuff going on that you kind of don't see every day. Like a lot of movies from that era, from the early 80s, like it's like we've moved on to more realistic CGI, but yeah. Some of that stuff back then was just so much like cooler and more interesting and unique, and especially with like a fantasy type story like this, like that really lends itself to it. But yeah, really cool movie.
Great. My next piece is a movie that came out last year that I was also super enthusiastic about, very high anticipation, from another filmmaker that just makes me so excited to see his future works, is David Lowery's The Green Knight.
Yeah.
And it's almost like The Green Knight's not historically accurate, but it feels like it could be. Mm-hmm. It's set in a world that feels real until it doesn't, until there's mystical elements within it. And The Northman did a good job with that, playing on Nordic traditions of witchcraft and Valhall and, you know, the things that you have to do in order to survive in the afterlife or ascend to the next level in the afterlife. And there's a lot of the spirit animal talk and the crows saving him and, you know, connecting with the wolves or the canines. Mm-hmm. That was like, ooh, that's there's got to be a little bit of mystical aspect to it. It can't all be just an acid trip.
Sure.
Or a mushroom trip.
A lot of it is, but maybe not all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed the Green Knight. Not everybody, it didn't land for everybody. The first time I watched it, I was a little disappointed. I rented it at home, watched it with my girlfriend in the comfort of my own home, and just fell in love with it. That and The Ghost Story are movies that are always going to stick with me. So it was really cool to see that. And I felt like the tone, minus The Green Knight, didn't have the action epic sprawl. But yeah. There was also some really cool camera movements in The Green Knight, the 360 pan shot of the decaying corpse. And in this, there was a few shots that were like playing with, well, wasn't he on that side of the frame a second ago? Now he's over here. And was that a dream, or was it, you know, in the tomb with the sword from taking the sword from the fallen soldier?
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of kind of the camera play and just the overall feel of the world that they built.
Yeah, I would say the score as well, which just fantastic scores in both cinematography. I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot of parallels to The Green Knight. Also, both basically being based on, you know, classic myths from old literature, which, you know, are themselves the basis for so many movies that came after. But, you know, those movies, some of them might come up in the conversation, some of them maybe we'll get to one of these days, but those classic stories all kind of come into play. I'll go to another piece here, which I think is another obvious one, but I'm going with Ridley Scott's Gladiator, the Roman epic with Russell Crowe as a general who the emperor has chosen to succeed him when he dies, but the emperor's son, who is evil, ends up casting him out to become a slave and a gladiator, and he has to work his way back and take back what's his. Similar but different, but also I think in a lot of ways, you know, it's basically the same story of taking back what's yours after everything has been taken from you. Huge sword and sandals epic type movies. Also, you know, I feel like this movie, The Northman, part, you know, we're talking about it being like an indie movie and coming out in theaters and all these things. I mean, it's basically, in order to sell it, you have to invoke Gladiator. Like, you have to say it's the next Gladiator in order to sell it. So it's right there in the marketing, you know?
No, you're right. And I never thought about the parallels of the story as well. And Marcus, is it Maximus Odysseus or something
Maximus,
like that?
Maximus,
yeah. Maximus has the throne pulled out from under him. He comes back. He's unknown within the ranks of this new leadership. And then at some point, about halfway through the movie, he's discovered, and he's still a thorn in the side of the emperor.
Yeah.
Which happens in The Northman as well. That's interesting. That's a good piece.
Yeah. And I mean, things do split off depending on how you read The Northman, because of course, we'll probably get into more of this as we're going through the conversation, but I mean, you know, his whole plot for revenge, as it turns out, maybe isn't as good of a plan as he thought it was, because maybe his father wasn't the person he thought he was. And so there's a lot of ways that the two veer off from one another, but certainly the initial setup is there.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. That's a great piece.
What do you got for your next one?
My next one is a movie that I watched as like one of the first movies I remember really liking that probably was a little too old and adult for me was Braveheart. And it showed a glimpse into like this Irish, Scottish, British culture that was not Knights of the Round Table, was not particularly fantastical, but the way that people talked and the way they lived and the way they dressed and their different clans from different parts of the islands and whatnot was really interesting to me. And I thought I took a lot of that when I was a kid, and was really, I liked the world that it built and relying on this kind of native storytelling, even if that really wasn't like a true story, or it wasn't I don't know if that was based on anything specifically real, but yeah. I watched it a ton as a kid, watched it again as an adult a couple of times, still holds up, very entertaining. And there's also a revenge for a fallen love plot. In this case, it was his father, but in Braveheart, it was his newlywed. So a little bit of an overlap in the plot, coming back to wreak havoc on the people that wronged him. But I really liked the world building and living in a culture that I'm just not familiar with or presented often to an American audience.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And Mel Gibson, as a director, just absolutely brutal in the stuff that he likes to put on screen. And I still remember, after Apocalypto, it had been rumored forever that his next project was supposed to be a Viking epic. It was supposed to basically be like everything that this movie turned out to be is what I remember them describing his movie as. And I think Leonardo DiCaprio was attached to it at one point as a potential star. Yeah, I mean, that was like one of the big canceled movies. I mean, that was like right at the time that everything went bad for Mel Gibson,
Sure, I was going to say that was right when he got pulled over and then it went to shit.
Yeah, so no more Viking movie for you. But
I was back and forth between Braveheart and Apocalypto on this piece. And I guess it could be a dual thing because that's another one. You're right in the middle of this culture, immersed with heavy detail, and you're living in their life. And it's a culture that I've never been exposed to fully on film.
Yeah. Apocalypto also on my list as well. So definitely,
nice.
throw it in there with Braveheart for sure.
Hell yeah.
So I will go to another piece here, and I'm going to take a little left turn here and do something that's not a movie. And instead, one of my friends sent me a Letterboxd review that's supposed to be trashing this movie. It's a negative, okay? But yeah. I'm going to take this as a positive here. They called it a video game ass movie. I choose to wear that as a badge of honor in this case. Sure. I think that this movie takes the best of video games. I think it feels a lot like God of War, like the Dark Souls games, Legend of Zelda. It's got a lot of that stuff going on in it. And, frankly, I mean, there's been a lot. I mean, we're kind of in a golden age of video game movies right now. There's been a lot that have been a lot better than what you would normally, associate with the term video game movie. But especially, things like his little side quest to get a sword from the boss battle underneath.
Absolutely.
That's a video game moment if ever there was one. I mentioned that the fight in the volcano, that felt like a quick time event moment in one of these kind of games. The one thing that I guess I would maybe say is a negative here, if I'm going to nitpick anything, like I said in my Letterboxd review, I don't really want to nitpick this movie because when do we get $90 million Viking epics?
Yeah.
I don't want to nitpick it, but if I'm going to nitpick anything, it has to do with this puzzle piece here, and that's that the plot is very A to B, B to C, C to D, with very little issue getting to each one of those next spots. It's like,
it's a little convenient.
Everything is so convenient. It's like, I need to sneak up on that guy. I snuck up on that guy. I need to get a sword. I got the sword. I need to burn down this house. I burnt down the house. Like, everything just kind of goes one step to the next.
Yeah.
But man, is it awesome to watch when it's happening.
Yeah, the only really stumble that I can recall just off the top of my head would be the fact that he can't unsheath that sword.
Yeah.
Now that the sunrise, and he really wanted to go on his blood spree, but then ultimately realized, well, I'm not supposed to fight him there. My prophecy says it's going to be at a lake of fire.
Yeah, so, he's got rules to follow.
I was thinking when he climbed into the boat near the beginning, someone's got to notice that.
Yeah,
it was very convenient, and then also that they chained him and Olga of the Birch Forest.
Yeah,
were both chained on that chain gang right side by side, so they could spill their story together.
Full name, by the way. Good job on that. Yeah. I just wrote down Olga.
So. I looked up her a lot because she was probably my biggest grievance in the whole movie.
Mm.
The accent, I couldn't get a Russian accent out, and everyone else has some nondescript, which they're not Swedish accents, they're not Icelandic accents, but they're not a Russian accent.
Yeah.
Then I realized that at some point someone calls her a Slav, and maybe she actually is Russian.
Mm.
So that's shame on me.
Did Russian sound like that in 700 AD? I don't even know. Like,
sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Throw on a British accent if you're speaking English and it's a foreign movie. Set in France, British accent.
I will say, like, I love her and she's great in this, but her character is like the other kind of main thing that I maybe would have a little issue with, yeah, in that I really thought that the end was going to go somewhere different with her, like somewhere darker, maybe where she had some kind of insidious plot, because she is somebody who, she says that she breaks men's minds and all that. And I thought it was going to go somewhere with that, but really not really. She's a love interest kind of by the end.
Yeah, she's the trophy wife. She really plays very little plot. She brings the next line of the female queen, or the female king, I should say. They use that line.
Yeah, that's true.
I did like that ancestral tree. That visual was very cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. And by the way, you know, back to your Green Knight, I'll get a lot of shit for this, but A24 vibes all over the place here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this one wasn't produced by A24. The last two Eggers movies, I think, were.
Yeah, both of them were. Yeah.
But this one wasn't. And that was another thing that I felt. There was a little more hand-holding for the audience at the beginning, a little more plot, kind of rushed through the whole setup and a little bit of kind of, I don't know, I felt like it probably could have been expanded. And I don't care if a movie's 3 hours. I'll watch a four-hour movie if it's good.
Yeah.
But it just gives you more opportunity to find problems with the movie when it's 3 hours long or whatever. Yeah. I could have used another 20 minutes of it, you know?
I think so, too. Yeah, it's funny you say that. Like, this is, I think, the third movie in the row. It was this. It was the Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent and Duel, the new Riley Stearns movie, which we didn't cover here on the show. But all three of them, I was like, lately I've been complaining about movie lengths. I would have liked all three of these to be longer. And so it just goes to show you know, nobody
for
knows
your buck.
What they want. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. Give me two movies in one. I'm cool with that.
Seriously. What do you got for your next piece?
Okay, so my next one's a little funky, might be a stretch. This is I Saw the Devil. It's the third in the Revenge trilogy that started out with Old Boy, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's how the lineage goes. But the plot of that, it's the police chief's daughter is killed at the beginning of the movie from a serial killer. And her fiance is a detective on the force. And her fiance takes it upon himself to find the killer and then vanquish him. But before he does that, he spends probably 45 minutes of the movie just playing cat and mouse with him. He'll like break into the guy's store, beat him up with a mask on, and then leave. And the guy's hobbled, bloody, wrist broken, whatever. And then the next day, he'll go back to his house again, break into his house and just, you know, mess around with them, beat him up, rough him up, and then leave again. And this guy's being tormented. And that's pretty much how Amleth was treating his Fjolnir throughout the whole thing. He's like, well, before I kill him, I'm gonna make his life hell. And he kills his oldest son, rips his friends apart, all that stuff. I love that whole, I was waiting for just a quiet, low, waiting in the wings for its time to strike. But it was like, no, I'm gonna be the... Do you watch Avatar, The Last Airbender, the cartoon series?
I don't, no.
You ever seen it?
No, I saw half of the M. Night Shyamalan movies.
No, not the M. Night Shyamalan, just the cartoon series.
Yeah.
The M. Night Shyamalan movie, I'm easier on it than most, but it is terrible.
Yeah.
The show is a national treasure, and it's... And there's a character in there. I can't remember the name of it, but he's basically just a character that goes in and just screws with things. And it reminded me kind of that. You're just going into this town, roughing things up for the brass, and then getting out of there, which is I can appreciate that.
Well, that's great. I haven't seen I Saw the Devil. I've heard great things about it, but
it's fun.
For that particular puzzle piece and for those particular moments of him just basically terrorizing how do you say, is it Fjolnir? Fjolnir, for terrorizing the Fjolnir and his family and all that. I had a few things I was just kind of combining, so I guess we could combine them with I Saw the Devil there. Poltergeist. I had
Poltergeist.
Yeah, Beetlejuice, just all these things just coming in and funny. Just like creeping out everybody in the village.
How about just the plagues in the Bible?
Basically, with you know, just all those kinds of stories where somebody is coming in and just totally freaking everybody out with very like creepy, weird, scary, spooky things going on, you know?
That's interesting. I never the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet you could probably make the Bible a puzzle piece on every movie.
Oh, I'm sure at some point. By the way, I love his line about you know, how he's just so like weirded out by the idea of Christianity, like, you know,
they nail the man to a tree. Yeah, a dead man to a tree.
Their God is a corpse nailed to a tree. Yeah, I mean, if you don't understand it, I mean, you live on an island in 700 AD. I mean, it probably just sounds completely insane to these people, you know.
It is, and I'm pretty sure that the release date was like right near Easter.
Yeah, sure.
If not on Easter. I was like, wow, it's Zombie Jesus Day too. Cool.
That's how you market this movie for sure.
That's right.
So let's move on to some more. What do you got for your next one?
Let's see. I'm going to go back to Nicholas Winding Refn, and this is Only God Forgives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the stoic anti-hero. He's not really, I mean, Amleth is not really an anti-hero, but you're definitely, he's done some shit. He's terrorized some in his militia days.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a blameless pure lamb. And Ryan Gosling's character in Only God Forgives also is far from blameless. There's some brutal kills, just like a Winding Refn is apt to do. But furthermore, there is a very, let's just say, unusual relationship between Ryan Gosling's character and his mother in Only God Forgives.
Mm.
And there is an attempt of that in The Northman, which was a squirm inducing for most of the audience.
I would say so. Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's like, <"Whoa!" laughs> you just hear a collective in the theater. And it's like, I probably not that far off from the truth in a lot of royal oligarchs, I guess.
Yeah.
Historically in the 10th century.
Yeah.
So I didn't love Only God Forgives. That was one that I was super excited about, and it let me down a lot.
Yeah.
Because it was Muay Thai fighting Ryan Gosling, directed by the guy that gave us Drive. Oh, baby.
Yeah. I think expectations were through the roof on that movie. And it was just impossible.
Well, know? I mean, a little less karaoke, a little more killing, you know?
Yeah.
I could use that.
That would be fair. That would be fair for sure. I will go to Zack Snyder's 300 for my next one.
Yeah, that's on my list.
Yeah, I mean, heavily stylized sword and sandal epic, you know, big hulking monster people. Like you said, Alexander Skarsgård, you know, not exactly, he's not like Schwarzenegger huge, but he is big and he basically makes himself into an animal in this role. I mean, he's just screaming and just roaring and he's just tearing his way through this movie. And, you know, you get a lot of that Leonidas vibes coming into this. And also, you know, I already brought up video games, but, you know, heavily video game influenced that movie, I always felt. And so you get a lot more of that in here as well.
Yeah, I had 300. This felt like a more realistic 300.
Yeah.
Where less airbrushing, more just natural beefcakes, slapping skin, dancing around the fire, damn near naked.
Yep.
And that's... I could not think of 300. And I did also have Dark Souls, which is the, you know, the most recent gothic night video game series, which
game
is
game that I will never play because I'm just not good at games anymore. So
what do you play, speaking of which?
I mostly play Mario games nowadays. Like I can't get into 3D games. That's my thing. I'm a 2D guy. So
that's good. I'm halfway, I'm like 70, 85% of the way through The Last of Us Part 2.
Mm.
And let me tell you, that is the best, one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, right.
is that game.
That's how I felt about the opening of The Last of Us, the first one. I was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. As soon as you get to that subway shootout or whatever it is, the second scene, I literally died like 17 times in a row and then never played again. I was like,
really?
I can't play these games. Like, they're just too much.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
My girlfriend is a Last of Us stan, and she will every night when we're done watching a movie almost every night at home, she'll ask me, "Do you want to put on something else, or should I watch you play The Last of Us?"
There you go.
We'll turn all the lights off and we'll turn the volume all the way up and scare the hell out of each other.
You got yourself a keeper right there.
Yeah. I got a couple more left. All right. I'll go with a really obvious one, which is The Lion King,
yes.
aka Macbeth,
mm-hmm.
and the Macbeth story, the Shakespearean story, which everyone knows. Is Lion King, which sure. is the Northmen.
Yeah.
Which came first? The Northmen.
Yeah.
historically.
Yeah, sure.
Not by release date.
Yeah.
But I don't know the actual name of the text or what the story is or what the characters' true names are, but Amleth in this movie is an anagram for Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
You rearrange the letters, it's Macbeth. And I'm sorry, we're missing a B in there, but it's got everything else.
Yeah, it's
Amleth.
Yeah, they know you're going to put it together. So, yeah.
And I kept thinking, did they say Hamlet? No, it's Amleth. But the story is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Wicked uncle kills the kid's father. He's the next in line for the throne. Kid goes back, levels up, comes back home, and now uncle is with mom, not sure if there's any, you know, ill will there or if it's a willing thing, and then he has to take his rightful place through whatever means necessary. I think the devil's in the details for each different specific property. Disney's going to make it a certain way that makes you feel good and wants you to take your 10-year-old to go see it or 5-year-old to go see it, and the Northman is not going to give you maybe a very satisfying ending.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not think about it when you're watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, by the way, shout out to Math Teacher Movies who suggested that puzzle piece over on Instagram. So
nice.
Yeah. So definitely on my list as well. And, who doesn't love The Lion King? I mean, come on.
Hell
that's,
yeah.
That's the best. That was on my list as well. My last piece then, and this is maybe kind of a silly one, but, the scene where the group of slaves is all playing that ancient game where mm-hmm. they all have to kind of like hit a ball around and then attack each other while they're playing. I was trying to think of other, you know, made up sporting events, and I thought of Harry Potter and Quidditch.
So, nice.
There you go. I less violent, but you know, similar.
I actually I have two puzzle pieces just for that scene.
All right, let's get to them then.
It's Monty Python: The Meaning of Life, the rugby game between the teachers and the students.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Because they are literally getting the crap beat out of them by these adults, and
nice.
This poor group of slaves get led into fight, basically play a game, but actually fight. Literally, the largest human being on the planet. The mountain from Game of Thrones, which is just unfair. And then also, what's the other one? Rambo 3, when he goes to Afghanistan and the locals are trying to teach him how to play some game about throwing a goat off of a horse. And he's just playing along like, I'm not sure what the point of this game is, but okay.
I haven't seen Rambo 3 since I was a kid. I need to rewatch it. That sounds amazing.
Let me tell you, you don't.
Yeah, no. Skip that one on my rewatch.
Yeah, I watched it for the first time this year, and I watched the whole Rambo series for binge movies.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, what's the last Rambo? Rambo is literally like a serial killer in that movie.
Yeah.
It is. Oh my gosh, that series went off the cliff. But
that's ridiculous.
But yeah, those two, as far as the movie goes itself, I got a very strong Gangs of New York vibe as a puzzle piece. And that's a very similar storyline, plus also the vibe of the movie.
Sure, yeah, I guess I could see that. I hadn't thought of that one. That's good.
Leonardo DiCaprio as Amsterdam has his family killed by Bill the Butcher and their gang, and then later on ends up becoming kind of his right-hand man, which is what Amleth does. He's the strongest slave.
Yeah.
Saves his son in that weird field hockey match, and then gets kind of promoted to lead slave.
Mm.
So there's that, and then a little bit of Kill Bill with just the straight up revenge, start to finish revenge flick.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, one thing that I was thinking about is, not really a puzzle piece, but another movie from this year The Batman, a little movie mm-hmm. called The Batman. You know, it seems to be like maybe it's in the conscious right now about revenge and vengeance and it maybe not being such a good thing. You know, that seems to be a theme here with a lot of these movies.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, there you go. It sure is. So, cool. Well, then I'm going to read down our list of the finished puzzle and we'll get into some closing thoughts. We talked about Valhalla Rising, Conan the Barbarian, The Green Knight, Gladiator, Braveheart. We threw Apocalypto in there as well. A bunch of video games. I Saw the Devil. We threw Beetlejuice, Poltergeist, and the Bible itself in there. Only God Forgives, The Lion King / Macbeth, Harry Potter, The Meaning of Life, Rambo 3, and Gangs of New York. Yeah, a lot of stuff
going
on here.
What a list.
Absolutely. A lot of violence, a lot of, you know, a lot of revenge, a lot of misplaced hatred and anger. Yeah, I don't know. Is there any closing thoughts you have here? Anything we didn't quite get to?
I think that as far as The Northman goes, my overall experience of it was it let me down a tiny bit. I don't think I'm as high on it as you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I still thoroughly enjoyed myself. I felt like this was Robert Eggers with a studio executive on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just you get a different outcome, a different flavor to the product.
Yeah.
And having seen all three of his releases opening weekend in theaters, I've enjoyed myself thoroughly three times and had three very, very different experiences walking out of the theater. So I'll follow him to the ends of the earth. I'll watch anything he makes. So I don't care how weird it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. Like, it's definitely a different thing at this kind of level. And I mean, it has to be when you've got this much money being mm-hmm. spent on it. But as far as like closing thoughts, the only other thing I would mention is, we didn't really mention by name anybody, but mm-hmm. some of these supporting performances are just so good. I mean, Willem Dafoe is always so much fun. Yes. Nicole Kidman, fantastic in this. Klaes Bang, fantastic. Ethan Hawke is great in this.
Yeah.
It's just some really incredible performances. Some people doing things you wouldn't really expect from them, like Ethan Hawke, but some people doing things we knew they had in them, like I think mm-hmm. Nicole Kidman, I would say. She's had some crazy performances over the years. And so, you know, it makes sense to see her in a role like that, but she is just awesome.
Oh, Ralph Ineson too.
Ralph Ineson shows up finally. Yeah. I was waiting for him the whole time. I was like, is he going to be in this? And
he better. You know, the one person that should have been in it that wasn't was Peter Stormare. Mm. I felt like he would have fit right in somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. It would have been great.
He could have been another witch.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I'll just also mention, I did hear an interview with Eggers, and he brought up The Vikings, the movie. So that I probably will make some time for that one. It's from 1958, the Richard Fleischer movie. I actually have the DVD of it, and I've just never seen it before. So nice. I'm going to watch that one. But yeah, he said that the scene when the king returns home and everybody's all excited would have eventually gotten into, if they spent more time there, into more filthy, disgusting Viking stuff happening, like in the movie The Vikings.
Sure.
So, which that tracks with a Robert Eggers movie, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that does it for The Northman. Pete, cool. Is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Another movie, a recent movie. I mean, I watch a movie at least every night, at least one a night. Last year, my goal was to watch 500 movies. I hit 525.
Damn. Insane.
And yeah, and there were times when I was not excited to come home and watch a movie or three, but I have an anti pick.
Okay.
Bonfire of the Vanities.
Oh.
1990.
All right. I remember it by name, but I've never actually seen it, I don't think.
It's a De Palma movie. Mm-hmm. It stars Tom Hanks, a little bit of Bruce Willis in there, and gosh, I can't remember who else is in it. But oh boy, was that rough. That was a really tough one. I watched that, and then just Everything Everywhere All at Once. If you haven't already been beat over the head with the message that it's worth watching, I don't know if it's still in theaters. I hope it is. I really regret not seeing that a second time in theaters. And they just got word from today that the DVD or Blu-ray and 4K release will come out on June 14th, which is my birthday.
Ooh.
And it was a birthday gift from the Daniels to me. So
nice, nice. Can't absolutely. Wait. That great, great recommendation. And that is awesome that you're getting a birthday gift from Daniels. I'm very excited for you there.
I'm going to be checking the mailbox from their P.O. box to me.
Yes, absolutely.
I tagged them on Twitter and said, thank you for the birthday gift. give me, please.
Well, Pete, why don't you tell people where they can find you and your podcast?
Oh, thank you. So our podcast is called Middle Class Film Class. It's we release twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays. Mondays are a, we call it Gab and Chatter. It's just weekly news, movie news of the week, fun projects that are upcoming, discussion topics. We get listeners involved with a lot of those. If you have something to talk about or want to jump on the show, we're really, really heavy on the listener interaction. And then every Monday during that show, we do streaming picks, streaming recommendations. And then on Wednesdays, we do one deep dive review that's chosen by random by the Wheel of Destiny. And we also have fan picks on that, too. So if you want a movie for us to review, you can write in. We'll put it on the list. And we record the whole thing live to tape as if it's a morning show, like a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
We stream it once a month on Twitch every fourth Saturday through a local comedy theater. And we literally do everything live. All the music goes in live. All the sound effects are put in right on the spot. It's a really fun time. So give us a shot.
Awesome. Well, Pete, thanks as always for being here. And hopefully we'll get you back again sometime.
Absolutely. Had a fun time. Thanks, David.
Hey guys, this is David, and I wanted to tell you about Newsly. It's an all-in-one audio super app for iOS and Android. And what it does is really cool because, I don't know, if you're like me, I don't have a lot of time for just sitting around and reading stuff. I'm always either driving or doing something, and just to like sit down and read, it's like, you know, who has time for that? And so with Newsly, you could basically turn any web article into kind of like a podcast, and it reads the article in a natural human voice from basically anything on the internet, anything on the web. And this way, you know, you don't have to sit there reading and scrolling. You can listen to it just like you would a podcast. And it's got podcasts too. Piecing It Together is on there. But then you could also find articles from all kinds of topics, from, you know, entertainment and movies to sports and tech and business, science, all that kind of stuff. So really, if it's out there on the web, you can find it and you can listen to it. And I've been using it as my default podcast app, and you can too. And you can download Newsly right now for free from newsly.me. Check out the link in the show notes. It's available, like I said, on Android and iOS in the App Store and the Play Store. And there's a premium version available, and my listeners can get a one-month free premium subscription by using the promo code PIECINGIT, but all of the I's are ones. So that's PIECING1T, piecing it, but all of the I's are ones. And I've got that in the show notes too. If you're like me out driving around listening to stuff, and you can't pull over right now, you can check it in the show notes and find that promo code and get that free 1 month premium subscription to Newsly.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about The Northman. Thanks to Pete Abeda for joining me on that one. And if you enjoy what we do here on Piecing It Together, piecing together movies with all these puzzle pieces, make sure you're subscribed wherever it is you listen to podcasts. That way you'll hear all the new episodes as they come. And you could also rate and review us either on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Good Pods or Podchaser. Wherever there's a 5-star button, we'd appreciate it if you hit that 5-star button and maybe leave us a little review while you're at it. You can also follow us on social media. I'm most active on Twitter at PiecingPod, but I've also been posting a little more on Instagram as well. So check us out at PiecingPod on Instagram too while you're at it. And you can check out our Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces Facebook group. Don't forget, we also have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post advanced and bonus content from Piecing It Together, as well as bonus content from Awesome Movie Year, which is another movie podcast I produce, and from my music career. I'm currently working on a new score for a new film, so I'll be posting some sneak peeks on the Patreon soon, as well as some other cool stuff that I've got planned. So lots of cool stuff over there, produced by David Rosen. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. If you really like the show, maybe subscribe. That's nice.
And speaking of my music, let's close this out with a piece of my music. And there was a particular kind of epic type, you know, warrior type track that I was looking for to close this one out with. And while I was searching through my hard drive, I found this piece called Untitled VR Action Track from 2015 that I don't even remember making. But I loaded it up and I was like, oh, okay. Let's play this one instead. So I don't even know. I don't remember what I made this for. VR, it must have been for some kind of virtual reality type thing. I don't even know. I have no idea why or when I made this exactly, but it seems like a good fit. So let's throw this one on here. This will probably be the only time I ever play or the only time anyone ever hears it. So hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.